to turn to Genesis chapter 15, continue looking at Bible study. Again, last week, looking at the importance of context, and again, the importance of such cannot be overestimated. Every word has a meaning, and the basic meaning of a word can be determined by its relationship to other words, which is context. A word in relationship to other words is context. The definition of a word that may be in question may be the word next to the word in question, may be in the verse of the word in question, may be in the surrounding verses, but usually in the Bible, it will be defined somewhere in the context. Again, Bible dictionaries are very helpful, very useful tool. Not necessary, because again, I believe the Bible does serve as a dictionary. And if the sentence does not show what a word means, then we must branch out to the surrounding sentences, the surrounding paragraphs, which is context. And most of the time, you can determine the meaning of the word in question. And we want to look at several examples of that. Now, none of these words that we're going to look at are difficult. I mean, we all know what the meaning of these words are, but we want to use these to just show how the Bible serves as its own dictionary. And if you learn how to do this, it can be very useful. Again, when you first start, it may be difficult, but the more you do it, it pretty much just becomes natural. In Genesis 15 and verse 5, Genesis 15, verse 5, "And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven and tell the stars if they'll be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be." The word in question that we'll use here in this verse is the word tell. And tell the stars. Now, in the context of verse 5, there is a definite link between stars and them. The them refers back to the stars. So there's a link between stars and them. And he is told to tell the stars. That means to count or to number. Again, the word them is linked to the word star. Verse 5 again. "If thou be able to number them," which is the meaning of the word tell. So right there in the verse, we have the meaning of the word tell. In Psalm 15, Psalm 15, and Verse 1. Lord, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? The word in question is the word abide. Now notice, before the word abide, you have the words who shall. After the word abide, you have the word in thy. Those are the surrounding words. Who shall, in thy. In between those, you have the word abide. So the surrounding words are who shall, in thy. Now the Bible, again, is a very repetitious book. That's not a criticism. That just stresses the importance of the message. And we ought to always be looking for repetition. And there is repetition in this verse. Again, keep in mind the surrounding words. Who shall? Read down a little further. Who shall? Then notice the word dwell, and then you have those two words again, in thy. So the surrounding words of abide are who shall in thy. Those surrounding words are repeated in verse 1. Who shall in thy? And I believe the word in between those surrounding words is the meaning of the word abide. So it is, who shall abide in thy tabernacle? What does that mean? Well, we have the repetition, who shall dwell. To abide is to dwell. We have the meaning of the word in the very verse. Notice John chapter 2. So again, you look for surrounding words. Say there's a word and you're wondering, what does that word mean? Look at the words that surround it, the words that come before it, the words that come after it. Look in that verse, look in the preceding verses, look in the following verses, and see if those surrounding words are not repeated. And if they are repeated, chances are you have, where they're repeated, in between those surrounding words, you have the definition of whatever word it is that's in question. In John chapter 2 and verse 3, and they wanted wine, and when they wanted wine, the mother of Jesus saith unto him, they have no wine. Word in question here is wine, or the word wanted. The word wanted is the word we want to look at. And when they wanted wine, does that mean when they desired wine? I mean, that's what you and I would think in English language. So the word in question is the word wanted. Notice the surrounding words. They and wine. Before the word wanted, you have the word they. After the word wanted, you have the word wine. They, wine. Are these words repeated? Yes, they are. Reading on in verse 3, they, there it is again, have no wine. There's those two words again. They and wine. Now, what comes between those two words? Again, the word in question is the word wanted. What comes between they and wine is the word wanted. Later on in the verse, what comes between the words they and wine? Well, it's two words. Have no. And that's what wanted means. They wanted wine, or they have no wine. So we see again, the Bible serves as a dictionary, gives us the definition. of a word. The word wanted, the definition of that is have no. They have no wine. Notice in John 15, John chapter 15, we'll read verses 4 through verse 11. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I'm the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit, for without me ye can do nothing. If any man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch, and is withered, and men gather them, and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit. So shall ye be my disciples. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments, and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. Just as in Psalm 15, verse 1, the word in question will be the word abide. Again, if you're looking for repetition, the word occurs, or some form of it, occurs 9 times in this passage. Now, if you are reading something, or if you are listening to someone speak, and they repeat a word 9 times in a very short span, there's an emphasis there. 9 times we have the word abide. We see it 3 times in verse 4. Verse 5, we see the word abideth, which of course is a form of abide. Verse 6, we see again the word abide. In verse 7, we see it 2 more times. In verse 10, we see it twice. So the word in question is the word abide. Now, in every case where this word appears, all 9 times, the word that follows it is the word in, which of course makes sense. You have to abide in something. So 9 times we have the word abide. 9 times following the word abide, we have the word in. So now we need to look for repetition. Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue ye in my love. The word in, what does the word in follow? It follows the word continue. What does the word abide mean? It means to continue. You see, he's using repetition. He's just using a different word. But we, by using a different word, we're getting the meaning of the word abide. Down in verse 11, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain, and there it is again, in you. What does in follow? It follows remain. So what does the word abide mean here in this context? It means to continue. It means to remain. 9 times when Jesus speaks of abiding in him, he's talking about continuing in him, remaining in him. So once again, we have the very meaning within the context. Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 24. Again, you need to train yourself to observe repetition. There's much in the repetition, including a dictionary. Romans 1, verse 24. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lusts of their own hearts to dishonor their own bodies between themselves. The word in question is the word wherefore. Wherefore. Now notice the words following the word wherefore. God also gave them up. Wherefore, God also gave them up. What does the word wherefore mean? Well, the words that follow, again, God also gave them up. If you read on, you'll notice that phrase is repeated in verse 26. God gave them up. He has repeated what he said in verse 24. So we have that repetition. But the question is, we see God also gave them up, follows that word wherefore. So now we see the repetition, God gave them up. What does it follow? Well, notice verse 26 again. For this cause, God gave them up. What does the word wherefore mean? It means for this cause. So you have the meaning within the context of the passage. You don't need a dictionary. All you need to do is read the context. And you'll get the meaning of the word within the context. The word can have various meanings. I mean, you look up any word in a dictionary and it has a primary meaning and it has several other meanings. But when we want to know the meaning of a word, we want to know what is the meaning within the context. Not what is the general meaning of the word, but what is the meaning within the context. And again, the Bible usually tells us that if we read far enough and if we observe repetition. Notice in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 13. Wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Word in question is the word withstand. What does that mean? What does it mean within the context? Following that word in verse 13, or right before that word, we see that ye may be able. And then you have the word withstand. That you may be able. Is that phrase, again, look at the surrounding words of the word in question, is that phrase repeated anywhere? Well, if you back up in verse 11, we see it again, that you may be able. What follows that word, that phrase? To stand against. What does the word withstand mean? It means to stand against. Again, we have the meaning within the context. 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we'll read verses 10 and 11 and then we'll stop. 'For he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips that they may speak no guile. Let him eschew evil and do good. Let him seek peace and ensue it. The word in question is the word eschew. What does that mean? Well, the surrounding words right before it, let him, and right after it is the word evil. Let him, evil. Those are the surrounding words. So again, we must ask ourselves, we want to know, what does this word eschew mean? Well, we need, again, to look for a repetition of those surrounding words. Let him, evil. Verse 10. We see those two words, let him. And if you read a few words further, you see that word evil. And what is in between is the word refrain. Let him refrain from evil. What does the word eschew mean? It means to refrain. What does the word refrain mean? I mean, if you did it just the opposite, if you turned it around, you read verse 10, you want to know what the word refrain means. Look for that repetition, let him and evil. And you come down to verse 11, you have the word eschew. What does the word refrain mean? It means eschew. What does the word eschew mean? It means refrain. So again, we can get a very good idea by observing. You have to observe. You have to observe repetition. Very important. A lot of people, they think repetition just a waste of time. Nothing could be further from the truth. Observe repetition. There's reason it is repeated. You and I may repeat something, and it may be we're just losing our mind. But that's not the case with the Word of God. If it is repeated, there is a definite reason for the repetition. And a lot of times it's just to show us the meaning of a word. So again, we have to train ourselves to observe. And again, you do not observe these things if you're in a hurry, if you have some kind of schedule that you must read X amount, you're not going to observe a lot of things. But if you just take your time, read it slowly, read it word by word, you'll be amazed at what you observe. You'll be amazed at what you see. And that's what, of course, leads to accurate interpretation. Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank you, Lord, for this day. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness to us. We thank you, Lord, so much for your word. We thank you, Lord, that we have access to it, that you give us the opportunity and the privilege to read it, to hear it, to study it. And we just thank you, Lord, for that. And we just pray now that you'd be with us, that you'd help us, Lord, to worship you in spirit and truth. For those that are lost, we pray that you would open their hearts, that you would save their souls this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.